From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Monday morning edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. Today on the show, we'll go over some of Neil's 10 weekend thoughts from last night. Those brought to you by Harry Alexander as he predicted the season. Game-by-game predictions for the 2017 Ole Miss season. Ole Miss starts camp on Wednesday with Media Day, so we'll have coverage to you late today. Matt Luke's press conference is at 3 p.m., and then we'll get some players and coaches after that. So content coming at some point on Wednesday afternoon to start fall camp. There is a viewing period on Thursday, however, no interviews. So whenever we get Wednesday will suffice until, I believe, Monday from a content standpoint.
Yeah, it's either Monday or Tuesday of the next week. I can't remember the date, but it's one or the other.
Yeah, so one of those 2 days will be your next chance for content. We'll get a lot to you on Wednesday. It's just kind of a schedule as they get started on Wednesday for fall camp. So that and some other things today on the show. Appreciate everybody with some patience on Thursday, and then we took Friday off, kind of part of it, although we had really good participation in the Ask Us Anything thread on the message board. I think over 300 posts by 11 a.m. and still a good many after that. So if you did not take part, you know what we're talking about. We did an all-day chat. Today is the last day to take advantage of our promo, where you get RebelGrove.com free through the kickoff of the South Alabama game for the season opener. When you go sign up, use the promo code OLEMISS2017, no spaces, all one word together, and you get RebelGrove.com free until South Alabama. So check that out. A lot of stuff. Two decommits yesterday for Ole Miss, as well as this NCAA thing and the freeze thing combining to greatly affect Ole Miss's signing class, as you would expect. Blaine Scott, the Ohio offensive lineman, decommitted, as well as the Oklahoma defensive tackle Israel Antoine. He decommitted as well. Kind of took away the joke whoever had about Muhammad and Israel and all on the team at the same time from a couple months ago when he committed. I forget who had that joke, but I laughed for 10 minutes on the message board. Yeah, it was really, really good.
Really good.
So Russell's got some breakdown of where Ole Miss goes next, as Russell always has breakdowns on where Ole Miss goes next. So, again, if nothing else, get on the site for that, as he will become even a greater part of our coverage moving forward. So, anyway, that and more. Podcast brought to you, as always, by the Oxford Exxon and the Oxford Crystal on Highway 6 West. The Oxford Exxon, now a blue sky, no longer a Circle K. It's a blue sky. And when you go to the Crystal, you get the spicy chick as part of your 5-for-5 mix and match. You get the hand-spun milkshakes, chocolate Oreo, strawberry, and vanilla, as well as the Kool-Aid slushes, green apple, and grape. Those are made with Sprite. Might not need those quite as much, though, Neil. I looked at the 7-10-day forecast. Nothing above about 87 for the next week or so.
It was borderline pleasant last night.
It was 59 yesterday morning.
It was wasn't even borderline. It was actually pleasant. I sat outside and had a cup of coffee. It was great.
Did you?
Yeah.
So
I like cool weather. I'm in that minority of, if you offer me the choice between 95 and 45, I will pick 45 nine times out of 10.
Yeah. So, anyway, check those things out. Ribs, lunch specials, all that good stuff. And again, we're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are Clark Ford in Amory. 662-257-1900 is the number. You call that number. You ask for Corey Clark. You tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. There's no haggling. It's right to the bottom line. It's just a great deal right from the very beginning. Or you can go to ClarkFordInc.com, ClarkFordInc.com, and go from there. Anyway, regardless, once you get your quote, you have two choices. You can either shop that quote around, or you can go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of this podcast, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. It's a great deal, great service after the sale, all of that at Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900. And remember, at the end of the deal, tell Corey, hey, I heard about the dealership on the podcast. You can mention this podcast. You can mention the Beer Garden podcast. Either way, $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford in Amory.
So a little bit, a couple of news related to Ole Miss. We jump into the predictions and different things today. Cinquez Golson carted off yesterday for the Steelers. The first day of pads, third day of camp, if I have that correctly. It's he has not played in the game yet, as he has not gotten through a padded practice yet in his career. Just really terrible luck. A shoulder, a foot.
What is it this time?
It was a soft tissue hamstring that Ian Rappaport saying is not serious at all. So okay, it should be fine good. For this season. This is not a catastrophic injury.
When I saw it and I said it said carted off, that's literally all that – I think it was Ed Bouchette, the longtime Steelers beat writer. I thought, man, sometimes you just jinxed. Sometimes it's just not in the cards.
Yeah, reading the mentions was incredible because you have these really, really emotional Steelers fans, and they go, I told you a terrible pick. And it's like, he never had an injury risk in his life. Well, you should be a scout. If you told him, you should be a scout.
There is such a thing as just bad luck.
And he's had bad luck.
You know, I mean, there is.
He's a little undersized.
He is. Luck is just something that's – people go, well, there's no such thing. Yeah, there is. There is. There's good luck and there's bad luck. And there's right place at the right time, wrong place at the wrong time. Not to get overly deep, but there's just – when people do the, there's a reason for everything and all that stuff. Well, sometimes the reason is just you were just in the wrong place. Or you were just in the right place.
Yeah.
It's the wrong time. It was the right time. Sometimes everything – in my opinion, sometimes things are just – inexplicably random.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
But I'm glad he's okay. I'm glad.
Yeah, he appears to be fine. He's in a battle for a nickelback time, if I have that correctly, with the Steelers for the season. And had it been catastrophic, they probably might have pulled the plug on it.
Probably so.
I mean, just
keeping
it real.
At this point, you really couldn't blame him. It'd be like, hey, just
3 years.
We tried. You tried.
Yeah.
But that's good. Well, because you have to know that when he – felt something and went down.
3:04 a.m. this morning, Ian Rappaport says the Steelers saw cornerback Cinquez Golson get carted off again, but it's not like the last 2 years. His hamstring injury isn't major, I'm told. Also, I saw someone report it may have just simply been due to dehydration.
Well, then he has to feel awfully relieved this morning.
Yeah. Got up this morning, little IV in him, and probably doing all right.
Probably will make sure he is better hydrated going forward.
A lot of bananas. Get some potassium.
Yeah.
Good
for him.
Other thing kind of related to Ole Miss last night, yesterday, of Kyle Farmer, the Georgia baseball player with quite the debut for the Dodgers. They haven't won the World Series yet, obviously, and they've got a few things going on, but they're getting a little bit of Cardinals luck coming in. Like every button seems to be pushed and working right now for the Dodgers. But Kyle Farmer, the Georgia Bulldog, his dad Brian Farmer was an Ole Miss pitcher, was on the team when Ole Miss last won in Baton Rouge in 1982. I wrote about that earlier during baseball season. So I believe an uncle maybe played for Ole Miss as well. I maybe one of the bigger recruiting snafus for Ole Miss. I sat in Rob Ronstadt's office at one point during his illustrious tenure as recruiting coordinator for the Rebels, and he told me that Kyle Farmer was not good enough to play at the Division I level. So might have been a tad of bit of a misevaluation there on Rob's part.
It appears that was incorrect.
I mean, look, we all miss some from time to time, but it does hurt a little more probably when you miss the legacy and go, yeah, he's just quite good enough, and now he's playing for the Dodgers.
Yeah, something tells me Mike Bianco's not particularly happy about that at this point. Could have used a slugging catcher who was good enough to play in the bigs.
Probably helps the team from time to time.
I'm always, no matter what team it is, unless it's the Cardinals, and then I don't feel it. But when guys get that first hit, like Victor Caratini hit his first home run yesterday for the Cubs, I'm always struck by that. And then like Adrian Beltre yesterday with the 3,000th hit. It's just such an incredible accomplishment when you stop and think about the number.
3,000.
31st player in the history of the game. A lot of good players have played baseball. I mean, a lot of really good players have picked up a bat and headed to the plate in a Major League Baseball game. 3,000 hits.
Yeah. Farmer, but by the way, real quick, Farmer was a 4-year starter at shortstop for Georgia during college. But
and he's a catcher now?
I didn't see what position he played, honestly. Was he catching?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
For some reason, I thought
he was
a catcher.
I just saw the highlights and saw his offensive appearances last night, and that was what I kind of locked on to.
Hit the game-winning two-run double.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Beltre, I give baseball credit for this. They do a really nice job of stopping play to acknowledge moments.
Oh, yeah.
More so than maybe some other sports do.
Yeah,
they do a really good job of acknowledgement.
3,000 hits is a big time milestone. 3,000 hits.
Well, I mean, 200 hits is kind of the thing for a season. That's your benchmark.
200 hits is a really good season.
Yeah, 15 times.
I mean, run that number through your head. 15 years of 200 hits.
It's the equivalent of when they go, "Oh well, a pitcher got to 300 wins." He won 20 games for 15 years.
It just doesn't happen.
You get up at 22 and you win 20 games till you're 37.
Without fail.
Yeah. Every time you don't do it, you got to make it up somewhere.
So you end up having to pitch 20 years in the bigs.
Yeah.
Just remarkable. And I'm more of an NBA guy than I am an MLB guy.
Is Beltre the most underrated player of his generation?
Whew.
His name does not pop for people. You forget about Adrian Beltre.
You forget about Beltre. I don't know why, because, God, he's been great his entire career. Yeah. Most underrated player of his generation. I'd have to think about it. I'd have to think about who the other candidates are for that, but he's way up there.
I mean, I don't have his FanGraph stats up or anything like that in front of me. I'm just talking. But
I mean, I'll pull him up. I mean, his career has been
– he's got to be at least in the conversation.
His career has been incredibly consistent.
You pulling him up?
I am. I'm pulling up Adrian Beltre FanGraphs.
His rookie year was in 1998.
That's when I start to feel it. So he's had a 20-year career.
All right, you know, I say that, and it's more longevity than performance in a way. He's only hit 300 in a season. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times, although he's done it in 1, 2, 4, 5 of the last 6. So he's actually gotten better as he's gotten older.
He has gotten better since he got older. In his career, he's had a WAR of 4 or higher. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times.
That's solid.
A peak of 9.7 in 2004 with the Dodgers.
Whoa, 9.7?
He had a 9.7 WAR.
His 2007 season, he played in 156 games. He hit 334.
Yeah.
With a 388 OBP and a 629 slug. He had an OPS of 1.017 in that
Pretty
season.
Good.
Where did he finish in the MVP voting?
I don't know. I was just wondering that exact same thing. Dodgers, Mariners, one season with the Red Sox, and then Rangers.
I'm pulling up the MVP. So NL MVP, he finished second. Pretty far back of Barry Bonds.
His career average is .286, his batting average.
By the way, Bonds' WAR in 2004 was 10.6.
Jeez.
So it's hard to really fault the committee there.
Yeah, .286. He has 454 home runs, 1,456 runs, 1,607 RBI.
Guess Bonds' OPS in 2004.
About 1,200?
14.
Jesus.
1,422.
Can't even imagine.
For anyone that doesn't really understand OPS, my God, that's high.
Yeah, it's on-base percentage plus slugging. Think about all the times that year they got walked. Yeah. He's on base all the time.
Crazy. Just incredible. Anyway.
And then what goes kind of unsaid is that he's never, Beltre's never really been accused of a performance-enhancing stuff. No one's ever really pointed that finger at him, to my knowledge.
Scott Rowland finished off the podium that year in the MVP race, hitting 314 with a 1.007 OPS. Off the podium. Pujols finished third. Cardinals went 3-4-5 in the MVP race that year.
Pujols, Rowland, and...
Jim Edmonds. J.D. Drew finished sixth.
Jim Edmonds was a really good player.
So, there's your walk down memory lane. I don't know how it got there. Vlad Guerrero won the AL MVP that year, if you're curious. Gary Sheffield finished second. Manny Ramirez finished third.
MLB trade deadline today at 3.
Yeah. What the Cubs going to do?
Cubs already made a deal.
What'd they do?
They acquired Justin Wilson and Alex Avila from Detroit late last night in exchange for Jamer Candelario, who's been a triple-A third baseman, first baseman. He's had a couple cups of coffee with the Cubs and a young shortstop that has emerged as a top 10 prospect in their organization. Detroit desperately trying to find someone to take Justin Verlander, but no one will take that money.
I get it. So we'll get off baseball with this before we move on to football, but I saw people talking about it yesterday, so kind of interesting. First year for the 2018 MLB Hall of Fame class, the first year on the ballot for these players: Chipper Jones, Jim Thome, Scott Rowland, Andrew Jones, Johan Santana, Johnny Damon, and Carlos Zambrano headline the class.
Carlos Zambrano.
Well, it just shows you how bad we are on down past that.
Chipper Jones is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
He's in.
Who's the next one?
Jim Thome. Is he in?
First should ballot? Be in.
He's in. Is he in first ballot?
Probably not first ballot. He should be a Hall of Fame player.
Andrew Jones.
No.
Hall of really good?
Hall of really good. Hall of good Lord.
On his best day, better than anybody.
But. Hall of good Lord, when he started, you thought, this is Mickey Mantle. Yeah. This is what Mickey Mantle would look like from Curacao.
Yeah.
And then he injuries.
Yeah. Great career. On his best day, great.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, but he didn't do it 15 years of
That's
great.
The fall off, though.
Johan Santana is not a Hall of Famer.
I mean, phenomenal. For a time. He won the Cy Young the year I was just referencing in 2004. Johnny Damon's not in.
No.
And then after that, people that might flirt with it.
Okay.
If I was voting, and I'd have to look at his career stats, but just off the top of my head, I would give consideration to Omar Vizquel. Defensively.
Arguably one of the two or three best defensive shortstops ever.
Yeah. I would give it consideration to Vizquel.
Johan Santana, for his career, I know people are like, why are y'all doing this? Because it's a podcast and that's what we do. He went 139-78. He had a career ERA of 3.2. Started 284 games, appeared in 360. Had one save, in case you're wondering. Pitched 2,025 and two-thirds innings. Only allowed 1,726 hits, walked 567, struck out. Why can't I see strikeouts? Oh, there it is. Struck out 1,988. I mean, he's really good. As a pitcher, during the prime of his career, his WAR was 6.8, 7.1, 6.7. It's pretty damn good, but he didn't do it long enough. So, no, he's not a Hall of Famer. Hall of really damn good.
Baseball Reference tells me, if I have this correct, and I hope that I do since I'm about to say this out loud, Omar Vizquel has the number one fielding percentage for a shortstop in Major League history.
I mean, he was phenomenal for 15, 20 years as a defensive shortstop.
Just ahead of Troy Tulowitzki and Jimmy Rollins.
Oh, and I'd rather have Omar Vizquel than either one of those two guys all day long. Jimmy Rollins was an underrated player now.
He was.
But I'd rather have Vizquel.
Vizquel was, I had it right here. A 3-time All-Star, but an 11-time Gold Glover. 45 career WAR. Pretty high.
It's pretty good.
Pretty high.
Yeah. He's a damn good player
now. Hit 272. Hit no home runs, really.
Nah.
Stole 400 bases.
Yeah, he could run.
688 OPS. Pretty weak.
Yeah.
But defense is where he made his living. So, anyway. I would contemplate Vizquel, but that's – I think I would vote Jones, Tomy, and then Vizquel, I think, for first-year guys. Obviously, still some other dudes back on the ballot for additional years. But it's okay. We'll move into football in a second. Podcast brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. MasterCuts, full-service lawn, maintenance, and landscape company serving Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding areas. They also do Skeeter Beaters, the mosquito spray company serving all of North Mississippi, where you can sit on your back deck, especially in this kind of weather when it's nice outside, and not worry about those pesky bites. No job too large or small for MasterCuts. Services include landscape design, installation, landscape lighting, irrigation, maintenance, and turf. They even do holiday lighting during the holiday season. I use them, and you should too. Give them a call, 662-607-7773, MasterCutsLawn.com. If you sign up for an annual contract and mention the podcast, first cut is on them.
We're about to talk about some of my 10 weekend thoughts, where I reveal just what a glutton for punishment that I am. Those are brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you're looking for. The results are updated daily. The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. Currently, Ben Brown and his team are looking to hire part-time and full-time sales team members across Texas and the Southeast to join their team. They offer extensive training, support, and the best products and pricing in the industry. Whether you are looking to supplement your current income or find a better career opportunity, email Ben at benbrown@journeybizsolutions.com. They are looking for motivated individuals with some sales experience, a business degree, or are close to completing their business degree, who have passion to serve small business owners. They have an exceptional uncapped commission structure and are an equal opportunity employer. Email Ben today. The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy you heard about it on the podcast. Congratulate them on the birth of their two new grandchildren, a boy and a girl, last week here in Oxford. GrenadaNissanUSA.com.
Had two grandchildren in a short period of time, huh?
Had twins.
Oh, really?
Twins, one boy and one girl.
Can't imagine twins.
No, it'd be tough.
Guess you just do it.
Danilo Gallinari throws a punch in an international game and breaks his hand.
That's good. Good thinking.
It's a good move. Hey, welcome to the Clippers, Danilo. You'll fit right in.
Astros got beat 13-1 last night.
That's all right. They're heading to the playoffs.
I think they're okay.
They're good.
Manager just sat back in the fourth inning and went, all right.
All right, quick question before we switch.
Okay, yeah.
You're the Dodgers.
I'm the Dodgers.
You're 50,000 games over 500.
I am.
You're winning the West.
I am.
You're going to have home field.
I am.
You're probably going to play Arizona or Colorado in a first-round series.
You can play your own division now?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
And you're probably going to play the Nationals or the Cubs.
In the LCS.
In the LCS.
Okay.
You don't know what Clayton Kershaw's back's going to do.
Okay, what is my latest update on that? What do I know?
You feel good, but it's a back.
Okay.
Anyone who's ever had
MRI's
a back
is negative.
MRI was okay. They're going to sit him a little while.
Just got some tenderness.
Yeah, but it's a back.
Yeah. Okay.
You've got a system loaded with prospects. Andrew Friedman's done a great job.
Andrew Friedman does great jobs.
Yet, it's a playoff series. And winning a gazillion games doesn't necessarily mean anything when you get into a playoff series.
Yeah, the 116-win Mariners did not hang a banner.
Nope. If you're the Dodgers, mm-hmm. do you pay the price today for Yu Darvish? Even if the price is insane for a two-month rental?
What am I giving up?
Three of your top 15 prospects. Knowing that if you don't, there's a chance the Nationals do.
What is my window probably anyway? Where am I in my window?
You got a lot of good young players. Clayton Kershaw's your horse, and he's got back stuff. And back stuff, you don't know when that back stuff flares up and becomes a real big deal. As anyone who's ever had a back injury knows.
Yeah, I'm mortgaging. I get that it's a Billy Beane deal from a few years ago where it didn't work out immediately and it looked like a failure, and it was a failure. But opportunities to win world championships are precious, and you have to take them, because if you get one, it's all worth it, no matter what.
I definitely mortgage.
Yeah.
Two reasons, and we're going to get to football, I promise. I'm staring at Arizona, which means I'm staring at Zach Greinke.
And he's all right.
And then if I get into a series with the Nationals or the Cubs, I'm going to play the Nationals with Max Scherzer. I don't know what Steven Strasburg's injury is, situation is. Or I'm going to get the Cubs, who I'm not going to have the benefit of the goats and stuff playing on my side this year. Cubs play with house money.
Just got to play a team this time.
Cubs play with house money.
Yeah.
And they've looked pretty good since the break, since the Quintana trade. They've looked good. They're 13-3 since the break. I'm paying attention to that.
How far are they heading in the division now?
2.5. If I'm them, I'm looking at the Cubs, I'm looking at the Nationals, and I'm saying, okay, if Kershaw's back isn't 1,000% and we can't kill him the way that we did last season to get to Game 6 of the LCS, I'm getting me another ace. Because I'm looking at the Cubs and I'm looking at Quintana, Lester, Arrieta starting to pitch sort of like old form. Hendricks has pitched well. They just added to their bullpen. I look at the Nationals and I know that I got to get Bryce Harper out. I know that Zimmerman's having the year of his career. I'm looking at that and going, I'm better than, and the Dodgers are. They're better than the Nationals and they're better than the Cubs. But in a 7-game series, you want dominance.
And if Kershaw's great, it's not like I'm not still throwing Darvish.
Right.
He's still on my roster.
Yeah. I rent him and just
– he just gets game two now.
It's why last year when there's going to come a moment for the Cubs when they'll look back and say, man, I sure wish we had Gleyber Torres. I won't. I'll say, man, I remember that day they won the championship, because it doesn't happen without Chapman.
Yeah.
I think if you're the Dodgers, you have to solidify whatever weakness you might have and give yourself just a little bit better chance to win the whole thing.
Even being as passive as I am about this Major League Baseball season, the NL playoffs are really exciting to me.
Oh.
I'm in for the NL playoffs.
I mean, that Nationals-Cubs 5-game series could be fascinating. And either one against the Dodgers. A Dodgers-Cubs rematch, a game 6 or 7 in Los Angeles, could be wild.
Well, in this part of the country, they're kind of forgotten. Those West other teams are good. Rockies are good. Diamondbacks are good.
Well, the Rockies and Diamondbacks are both good. The Diamondbacks are scary for the Dodgers because of Greinke. In a 5-game series, he gets 2 starts.
Yeah. You either beat him or you beat everybody else.
And there's Sonny Gray, 4-2, 1.37 in his last 6 starts.
Just hanging out there.
Hanging. I'd go get him.
There's Darvish.
Darvish is the rental. And he hasn't been good in July.
7.2 ERA in 5 July starts.
Yeah. None of those guys have pitched any postseason, really. You just don't know what Darvish has. But anyway,
All right.
On to football.
All right, so here's our caveats. We are under the assumption that there is not a tidal wave coming from the NCAA Committee on Infractions. Because if it does, it changes everything.
Yeah, because when I set out to do this, I said, okay, I can't write about if on every damn game. Let's come up with some baseline. And if that baseline's wrong, well, then everything changes. But for the sake of the discussion we're about to have, we're going to assume that the NCAA takes out its wrath on Hugh Freeze and sort of leaves the program be. Adds a few scholarships, takes away some recruiting visits, issues a really stern condemnation.
A hard slap on the wrist.
Yeah, forces Ole Miss to be quite contrite, but doesn't kill him. That was my assumption. So there's no, like Chase said, tidal wave coming in the middle of October where there's no denying that, oh my God, half these kids are leaving. Here comes the recruiting.
Yeah, that would put a whole different thing on it. So that is our caveat. And then I guess that's our only one. I was trying to think of something else, but that's the major thing.
That's the big one. You always just assume total health for every team, which is not going to happen, but that's what you have to assume.
Let's just say it all evens out and whatever.
Every team stays completely healthy.
September 2nd, at home, the South Alabama Jaguars, who beat Mississippi State in Starkville last year, and they have one Kane Womack at defensive coordinator.
They beat Troy. They beat San Diego State. Now, they lost some weird games, too.
I've heard a couple of their radio guys, or their radio guy on a couple interviews is the better way to put it. They're out just kind of the off season listening to things. Like, I was, for some reason, I had head-to-head on somewhere. I don't remember what I was supposed to do. In my house, and they were talking to the South Alabama guy the day that South Alabama played state in baseball, and he mentioned how Joey Jones still has done a fantastic job, but he did think they were a little down on offense this season.
Yeah,
which is the thing where Ole Miss is simply going to outscore them.
Yeah,
it probably is going to be a little scary for a little while. I do think that they'll put some points up. You know, going to make Ole Miss play clean essentially, but Ole Miss is sufficient, or not sufficiently, but they're so much better offensively that I cannot see them actually losing the football game.
No, I think they end up pulling away and winning, 14 to 17 points, somewhere in there.
If you made me pick a score, I'd say 48-31, 48-27, somewhere in there.
Yeah. 41-21, 41-24.
Yeah.
People walk out feeling like, I kind of was hoping for a more of a blah.
But it's okay. Yeah, it's all right. Yeah. I mean, anything within 10 points, you're walking out going, oh, my God.
Sure.
UT Martin, whatever.
It's a win.
Yeah, I'm not. No reason to spend time or ink on it. I mean, Jason Simpson didn't say a year or two ago, whenever it was, that he was coming in to win the football game. We had him on the podcast.
Yeah,
ultimate football coach. Couldn't just chill for a minute.
We won't do that again. Nothing against him.
It was a good idea.
I'm sure he's a wonderful person, great dad and husband.
He's bad radio.
But he's just not good on the radio.
Well, I mean, we're coming in to win the okay.
Yeah, that was an opportunity
for
him.
You got beat 70-13 or something. I don't even remember the final score.
That was an opportunity for him to have some fun.
And no fun for Mr. Simpson.
No.
All right, September 30th at Alabama.
You skipped Cal.
Oh, sorry. I did. I skipped the one that's important.
You skipped the big one. This is the hardest game on the schedule
September
to predict.
September 16th at California. It's been a swing game the entire offseason. We've discussed this. They're going to go out, I think, on Thursday, maybe one day early, let them see Alcatraz or whatever. Spend a little more time out on the West Coast. I think it's a good idea, but not too early where you make it weird. I think it's relevant that Ole Miss has to play this game at their own clock, 9 p.m. So when they're in the fourth quarter of this game, and I think it's a fourth-quarter game.
Is it 9 or 10 p.m.?
Is it 10 even?
I think it's an 8 o'clock local start, means it's a 10 o'clock central.
So we're 12:31, depending on that hour, whatever, in the second half of this football game.
Yeah.
I think that plays a role in this. I think both teams are going to run 80-plus plays. I think both teams are going to score 40-plus points, and I might have just misspoke on 50. And it is going to be, in my opinion, whoever has the ball last. I don't see any way this game does not score at least 80 points.
Yeah, I agree with that. For whatever reason, when I was trying to break this thing down, and I went into it kind of with the mindset of I was going to give them a loss at Cal, And I think defensively, they might be about even with Cal.
Okay.
Offensively, I'm giving them the edge at quarterback. And I'm not the guy that goes – because I'm going to tell you, the guy that does the Shea Patterson's going to be a superstar right away, I'm always wanting to tell that guy to slow his roll. Shea Patterson's played 3 college games. Had 1 good one, 1 bad one, and 1 that just wasn't his fault.
Mm-hmm.
Played really well at A&M, was not good at Vanderbilt. He wasn't. And then played pretty well against State, but that deal was...
There were 21 other guys on the field was the problem.
I could have a discussion about that Mississippi State game for a long time and about the oddities. I will always be struck that that game was not held against Hugh Freeze more than it was by the majority of the fan base.
It's Ole Miss's worst loss in the series since 1916 or 1917. 5 touchdowns.
And I know what I saw.
Team that didn't care.
I saw a team that quit.
Yeah.
And you know me, I don't like to use that word.
But that's the one game where it looks like it's the truth.
In a game where if you win, you go to
not
a bowl.
Not every player.
No,
totality.
But as a collective whole.
Yeah.
In a game where if you win, you go to a bowl game. If you win, they don't. If you win, you kind of get your fingers around the egg thing.
If you win, they're 4-8.
Yeah, and that would have been 3 in a row.
4 or 5 at least. I don't know.
If you win, it's a different deal. And not only did they not win, they didn't think about winning. It was weird. Anyway. So I'm not the guy that goes, hey, you know, Shea Patterson, man, he's walking in and he's just slinging it. He's going to be a Heisman candidate. I'm not ready to go there. I think both teams are going to have matchup issues guarding the other receivers. Both teams have problems in the slots, at linebacker, covering people. I'm with you. There's going to be a lot of points. I do think Patterson will be the better of the two quarterbacks, and every time I look at this, I just keep coming away thinking this is one that Ole Miss gets.
Ole Miss has the better quarterback and the better offensive line.
And so I give them that game.
And I don't know Cal's personnel well at all, but probably – the best disruptor defensively with Marquise Haynes.
I just think it's a game that
yeah,
Ole Miss,
I think they pull it out.
I think it's one they end up winning.
3-0. 3-0. Real good bye week for Matt Luke.
Does he? Yeah, he gets a bye week after
Cal,
and they'll need one.
And they go to Alabama. Can't see them winning in Tuscaloosa.
It's a loss. They're not winning that game.
October 7th at Auburn. Ole Miss wins at Auburn the last time they were over there, but typically have not played very well at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Jarrett Stidham is the quarterback. He is getting every bit of the claim that Jeremy Johnson got, whenever that was, that he was going to be the great savior to carry Auburn back to the promised land.
Yeah.
Stidham is better than Johnson. We've got a body of work on Stidham.
Probably a little more emotionally equipped to handle that pressure,
fits
too.
Fits Gus Malzahn's system very well, in my amateur opinion. I think if he is not what everybody acts like he is, because he's not going to be that because the expectations are too high. But if he's close to what I expect, I think they're the second best team in the SEC.
Yeah.
I think they're a team that could get back to an Access Bowl again.
Yeah.
And I think they win the game at home against Ole Miss. I think Shea keeps them in it early. Might even give them a little bit of a spark after halftime, but just defensively, I don't know that they can stop Stidham enough for it to matter.
I agree. I don't think you can. And we're about to get into a theme here. It's where if you can't get the other team off the field, you limit the number of opportunities that you have. And I think Ole Miss is going to be big play reliant. Yeah. And if you don't get enough opportunities to make big plays, you don't make enough big plays. So I'm with you. I think Auburn's a loss. I think it's a more competitive game than Alabama, but I don't think it's a tremendously competitive game. So if we're right, they're 3-2 coming home.
Coming back, playing Vanderbilt at home, October 14th. The Doors popped them last year in Nashville.
Big time.
And that's kind of the part that when I look at this game, I think Shea can make some plays, even though Derek Mason really frustrated him last year for most of the game with his game plan. Shea will be more seasoned by this point of the season. He will have been to Auburn. He will have been to Tuscaloosa. He will have seen a lot of things and be better equipped for it.
Yes.
I don't like Vanderbilt's quarterback situation at all. But my problem here for Ole Miss, and this is just as much of a swing game for me as Cal, if you told me they were reversed or two L's or two W's, sure. Yeah. I don't know. These are the two games that bother me more than any other game on the games on the schedule if I had to pick one with anything riding on it. So let me put that caveat here. Ralph Webb is back. All jokes aside, he could be the most talented running back in the league. Ole Miss, to this point, with what we have to work with, has new coordinators, new coaches on the defensive side of the ball, and their run defense has been bad enough where I can't give them an immediate improvement with essentially the same personnel except no DJ Jones on the front line. If anything, maybe a little less talented on paper than last year.
I know.
So when I look at that, and then really this is the problem with these three games. I mean, I know we'll go through them, but Vanderbilt, LSU, Arkansas, you got all three at home, and look, could Ole Miss win one or two of them? Sure. Why not? But they have to stop the run with any of these three games. Ralph Webb's going to run and run and run and run and run. Darius Geis and LSU is going to run and run and run and run. And Arkansas is built on running, which is why Ole Miss has had so much dang problems with them in the past.
And Vanderbilt's going to have enough at receiver to take advantage of the same coverage issues that Ole Miss is going to have all year. I mean, look, this is not a criticism of Wesley McGriff. It's not at all. He is going to bring a lot of enthusiasm to the defense, a lot of energy to the defense. But I'm kind of tired of some of the Dave Womack bashing. It's amazing how Ole Miss's defense was really good when it had a bunch of really good players. And when they replaced those players with less talented players, the defense wasn't as good. This isn't a criticism of football, or because it's this way in any sport. Do you think Steve Kerr is as good of a coach as he was before he had Durant? Think he changed a lot? Or do you think they got better when they added Durant? If Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant all get hurt next year, think the Warriors still win the championship? Is it because Steve Kerr forgot how to coach? Became a worse coach? Man, it's all about players. You got to have players. You got to have it. Hugh Freeze used to talk size-speed ratio until it wasn't convenient to talk about it anymore. When they got the players that fit the size-speed ratio, I'll be damned they were a Sugar Bowl team. When they didn't, I'll be damned they went 5-7.
Yeah, their secondary was better when Cinquez Golson and Cody Pruitt were in it.
Amazingly.
Yeah.
So you got issues for Ole Miss at linebacker, at safety. There's a depth issue at corner. Who guards? And so if the other team,
I love Jalen Jones, but somebody else has got to play.
Yeah, and Hartsfield looks good.
Yeah.
Who's the third? Who's the fourth? What happens with injuries? My problem with Vanderbilt and Ole Miss is that I can't get out of my head what I saw at the line of scrimmage last year. Now, a week earlier, that team had won this emotional game because I saw the replay of it the other day.
Yeah,
they won this emotional game at A&M, so all these people go, well, they quit. Okay, but why? I mean, I have so many questions. Why did they quit after A&M? I mean,
yeah,
if they
no reason to quit heading into Nashville.
If you went to A&M and got skulldrug, okay, well, you know, the writing was on the wall.
They won.
They won there.
Shea threw for 338.
A last-minute field goal. They tried to carry the freshman quarterback off the field, made a play on defense to end the game.
Oh, yeah.
Celebrated. I mean, A&M got the ball back with 40-something seconds left, and all they needed was a field goal to win it, and Ole Miss got a pick.
Yeah.
Everybody made plays. That had to have been a happy locker room. Did Hugh Freeze, did something happen in the days following that game involving Hugh Freeze that the kids went, man, I'm done? I don't know. I'm not accusing. I don't know. But when people go, well, they, you know, Neil, they really didn't try very hard at Vanderbilt. Why? They had every reason to try. If they beat Vanderbilt that night, they wrap up a bowl.
They're in.
Why didn't they try? And Vandy went into that game.
Needing both, right?
Hell, we were talking about Hugh Freeze hiring Derek Mason as his defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So when people do the revisionist history thing for me, and I'm not saying they're wrong, but you're going to have to give me more. Why did that game go the way that game went? Because Ole Miss got its ass kicked at the line of scrimmage that night. I was there. I saw it. Why? I have a hard time getting that out of my head, and I'm with you. Who's stopping Webb? Shermer's just good enough to complete just enough passes to make you have to respect their passing game.
Yeah, he's okay.
And defensively, they're going to have a plan because they always have a plan. And Vandy gets up for Ole Miss. They always do.
Ole Miss, I mean, Vanderbilt leads the series over the last 10 years, I think.
So if you're Vandy and you look at your schedule and you say, what do we have to do to get to a bowl game? Well, one of the ones you have to win is Ole Miss.
Although they don't see it as stealing at this point.
So I picked Vanderbilt, and I don't – if you told me I was wrong, I'm not even a little surprised, Chase. But I couldn't make myself go, okay, well, I'm going to give them a W at Cal, and I'm going to give them a W against Vanderbilt because why? So I don't know. Those are clearly Cal and Vanderbilt, the two swing games in the first half.
That would put Ole Miss at 3-3 in the first half of the season. So since we're at the halfway point, tell you, podcast brought to you by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Mesquite County, and Chattanooga, 30 years old this year. One of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. So you're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Also the leader in condo financing in Oxford. So ask Jason about Community Mortgage's float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. You can contact him at 662-234-2704 or JLowe, L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Captain John Fryer and Tuna Chasa Charters in Biloxi. John Hunt handles inshore and offshore fishing expeditions from 4 to 12 hours. He knows where to put you on the fish that you want to catch. This time of the year, snapper, cobia are the most popular trips to take. Snapper season runs in Mississippi waters through Labor Day. Another popular trips for visitors are the inshore trips for speckled trout or triple tail blackfish. You can reach John through his website, tunachasacharters.com, his Facebook page, or you can call John 228-348-7817. That is Tuna, C-H-A-S-A, charters.com. Podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. Won't be long now till we're going through the games. That September 2nd game will be here before you know it. 7 South Tailgating, owned and operated by Kyle and Jordan Thornton, both of whom are Ole Miss alums, avid fans. 7 South, equipped with the largest staff in the Grove that can service most any of your tailgating needs. They offer SEC only and full season packages, rental packages. Fans can set up their own, can provide their own gear. 7 South will set it up for them. They offer setup, game day concierge, post game trash removal, equipment breakdown, year round storage, and more. They pretty much sell out every game, so visit the site today. If you give 7 South a try for one season, you'll never tailgate without them again. 7SouthTailgating.com, 662-321-1682. Podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair, and you can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer is an American Standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their site, comerheatingandair.com. Check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast. You get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane, 662-832-8749.
So, weird second half of the season is we've got this thing going in a little bit of streaks here. Ole Miss stays home, as mentioned a second ago. They get back-to-back home games, or three in a row, but following Vanderbilt, still back-to-back, starting with Ed Orgeron returning to Vaught-Hemingway Stadium for the first time since being an assistant at Tennessee. No, he was at LSU, too.
LSU was in
Baton
Rouge.
Just Tennessee. Okay.
Been back once.
All right. Yeah.
Was back for the Dexter McCluster.
Is that it?
Game.
Yeah. I feel like there was one more. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, you're right. He came back as an LSU assistant once.
Yeah.
He's 0-2 since
returning. He was on that. He was a couple years ago when LSU looked sexy as hell but got their heads beat in.
Yeah.
Wore all the white. But Ole Miss won like 38-17 or
something. God, that was hot.
It was.
That football uniform was hot. It was. Keeping it real. I mean, I'm very secure in my own sexuality. I can say that. Chris Bryant's a handsome man. I can own that. And that was a sexy uniform.
It was. Leonard Fournette wore it well.
He did. Now, he would look good in anything.
Yeah.
But, yes.
So.
Jamal Adams in the all-white.
Yeah.
Was spectacular.
So, Orgeron 0-2, headed back in as the head coach at LSU now. Crazy sentence if you told me that 5 years ago.
You don't think he has this one circled, do you?
Yeah, and there's nobody at Ole Miss to make this an emotional thing against Ed. No. I wouldn't think at this point.
No.
I'd hate their quarterback situation. Defensively, they lost a ton. A ton. Come on, LSU.
Yeah.
They've recruited well.
They did. They lost a lot.
I think this game's a lot higher scoring than most people think it's going to be.
I agree.
I think it's a lot of points. I think Ole Miss has some run breakdowns.
I think Ettling is going to be better this year than he was a year ago because, A, he has experience, and, B, I think that he did play a lot of last year where he really couldn't feel his back leg.
He sucked at Purdue too, though.
Well, he did, but he got hit a lot at Purdue. I'm not going to hold Purdue against him because I'll go ahead and challenge you. Other than Drew Brees, who's had success as Purdue's quarterback? I'll wait.
Not a lot.
I'm not going to hold Purdue against him.
But you've got LSU winning this thing by 7 to 10 points.
Yeah, close game. I mean, Darius Geis is really good.
You come back to run defense for almost all of these, don't you?
So it's because man, I've covered you have too. Yeah. You've watched SEC football since you were a little boy. Please give me the long list of teams that win in the SEC that can't run and can't stop the run. Please go ahead. I'll wait. Yeah.
And really stop it more than even do it.
You got to be able to do it enough to keep the other team honest if you're going to be pass happy. Those years that
Ole Miss in 14 and 15.
Yes.
That's it.
Jalen Walton.
They did just Jordan enough.
Just enough. Barely.
Yeah. But they stopped the run.
They got people into third and long, and they had pass rushers.
Mm-hmm.
Man, when it's second and four, and you're an offensive coordinator, you got a lot of stuff at your disposal.
When it's second and 14, you're screwed.
Yeah, you're behind the chains. It's hard then. But if I'm getting 6 yards a carry, and I know what I saw in Baton Rouge last year too. LSU ran for like a gazillion yards and could have run for 3 gazillion.
Fournette had whatever at halftime, and it was – he ended up breaking Ali Broussard's record or whatever.
The game just wasn't competitive, really.
What's the final score?
I don't remember. It was the night the Cubs won the National League pennant.
Was it?
But it wasn't competitive. It just wasn't. I mean, and Ole Miss did – that was Chad Kelly playing really well. I can't give them the LSU game. I really can't. Now, this one coming up is one that I really went back and forth on.
Arkansas at home to close the homestand. Ole Miss has struggled when an Allen has been under center for the Razorbacks. Austin Allen continuing his tenure as the Arkansas quarterback. Brett Bielema and his team has beat Ole Miss 3 years in a row. A weird game in Fayetteville last year as the score was close. Ole Miss, Evan Engram had a really bad night that kind of cost them early. Weird game. Arkansas still controlled the line of scrimmage, though. And this year, back at home, we'll see. The first time I've been in Oxford since the crazy 4th and 25 game a couple years ago.
I'm real tempted to give this one to Ole Miss. just because it's home. I don't think Arkansas doesn't have a Darius guy back there.
Alex Collins is no longer on this roster.
Right. And Riley Williams isn't there. Thank goodness he's okay.
Yeah.
But they don't have the running back like Webb or Geis where I go, man, they ain't stopping him. If you told me they kind of slowed Arkansas, I'd buy it. And I don't think Arkansas is going to be a great defensive team. And this is where we also get into the part of the season where if it hasn't gone well for these teams, they're questioning coaches. Bielema is not on the hot seat, but they've lit the burner. Not hot, but you could turn it to a simmer pretty quick.
Well, based on going by our predictions, it's also kind of a back against the wall last chance game for Ole Miss because they've lost four in a row at this point, or three in a row, whatever it is, four in a row.
I'm pull something up because I'm curious. I meant to do this yesterday and I didn't do it.
What are you pulling up?
I'm pulling up the Arkansas football schedule. Let's see where they are at the time that they get to Oxford. Let's get a feel for this one because this is a swing game. Florida A&M to open 1-0. Home against TCU. Shit, I don't know.
A loss.
Okay. Home against A&M.
The losers.
Actually, that's
trouble.
That's that game in Dallas.
It is.
They're technically the home team this year, but it doesn't matter.
Whatever.
Kind of a coin toss.
Yeah.
So 1-1 and a toss. Home against New Mexico State. That's a win. 2-1 and a toss. So I'm about to change my pick. At South Carolina.
L.
Okay. I think I agree with you. 2-2 in a toss. At Alabama. Auburn at home. Mm-mm.
So you got them 2-4 in a toss.
2-4 in a toss. So at best, 3-4, potentially 2-5 heading to Oxford. That if we're right, Ole Miss Arkansas loser is in trouble.
This big time Brett hot seat talk at that coming.
Well, if they're 2-5,
yeah,
gotta win games. Anyway, well, maybe I'm wrong on this one. Maybe I think I said it was super close. Maybe I'm giving Ole Miss this one because I'm giving Ole Miss Kentucky, and I'm not as convinced on that one as I am.
Yeah, that's where we are next. November 4th, Kentucky. I just like Carolina more than Kentucky. I think Kentucky, look, they're kind of cute. They had a much better season last year. He hasn't recruited that great, though. It's not like everybody compares it to Hugh Freeze and Ole Miss. There's no top 10 class on that Kentucky sideline. Their ceiling is still lower than so many of these teams in the SEC. They're getting a little better quarterback. They've got a nice running back. They've got some different things.
They're better on offense now.
Yeah, they're better on offense.
They are.
Defensively, they still have holes.
Yeah,
I just think Ole Miss has more talent.
Here's Kentucky's schedule heading into that game. At Southern Miss to open it, it's a W, I think. Don't you?
Sure.
Eastern Kentucky's a W. At South Carolina, you think that's a loss?
At or home?
At.
Yeah.
They play Florida at home. 2-2, probably.
Don't know.
Beat Eastern Michigan at home. Beat Missouri at home. Then they get – they're the two games before they go to they entertain Ole Miss. At Mississippi State, October 21st. Home against Tennessee, October 28th.
I think it's two losses.
Well, if you're right, then they'll be – they will have turned their attention to hoops completely by the time Ole Miss gets there.
State plays Kentucky really well, lost on the big kick in Lexington last year, but at home I like State's chances.
Okay.
I think, yeah.
I think they lose at State, and I think they beat Tennessee. I'm not big on Tennessee at all.
I'm not either. Maybe the worst team in the East.
And so Ole Miss will be a huge game for Kentucky and Lexington. Huge. Because after Ole Miss, they go to Vanderbilt, to Georgia, and home against Louisville to finish it.
November 11th, the University of Louisiana comes into Oxford.
Stop it.
It's what their media guide tells me to call them.
Yeah, well –
little UNA reconnection. Mark Hudspeth joining Will Hall, or Will Hall joining Mark Hudspeth on the sidelines at Lafayette, as Will Hall comes over from West Georgia as the offensive coordinator.
You don't think Will might have a little special plan for this game, do you?
Think so?
I'm just guessing. Something tells me Will wouldn't mind making a really strong impression.
Okay. Will was in consideration for the OC job back when they hired Longo a little bit. They tinkered with it.
Yeah, I toyed with the idea of putting him on the staff. I think Will's probably pleased.
He's in a good spot.
Probably in a better spot long term now there than he would be if he were here.
He gets a Division I opportunity.
Without the turmoil.
Yeah. So.
It's a win.
Yeah, Ole Miss is better. They're going to win the football
game. It's a win. The only way they lose that game is if
all absolute hell has broken loose.
If they lost to Cal and then kept losing and the NCAA thing comes down.
It would have to look like La Tech would nut.
Yeah, it would have to be.
Where it was
just a disaster. I don't think Matt Luke is going to allow a disaster.
Except for one, Jonathan Manziel. Ole Miss has pretty much had their way with A&M since joining in the SEC. Manziel kept that from being losses in pretty much every season, or would be losses in every season.
He did, man. He won two games by himself.
Ole Miss, well, Mike Evans helped a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah.
Ole Miss wins 2 years ago in a game where A&M couldn't throw the football down the field whatsoever. And then last year on the kick, as Neil mentioned, in the comeback, they were down 14 points, maybe entering the fourth quarter or something like that. They win the game. Ole Miss beats A&M at home.
I gave them a win here too, right?
Yep.
Yeah. A&M schedule, you tell me what you think they'll be. At UCLA.
Don't know. All right, lost though, right?
We'll call it a toss. Nicholls State, win. Lafayette, win. See how easy it is just to say Lafayette as opposed to Louisiana?
Well, see, when you said that, I got confused. I thought you meant Lafayette, which is that – from the northern team.
They would call themselves Lafayette.
Well, it's Lafayette up there, right? It's Lafayette down here, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Isn't that right? Isn't it Lafayette in the Northeast and Lafayette in Louisiana?
You're going to make me think about this. So, yes, I'll say yes.
But you're talking about the Cajuns.
Cajuns.
Okay. They play Nicholls and then the Cajuns?
Yep.
So, they play Colonels and Cajuns.
Colonels and Cajuns.
Okay.
Which sounds like the name of a clothing store in South Louisiana. Colonels and Cajuns. Arkansas in Dallas, we're already calling.
No, it sounds like one of those kind of like the Dixie Stampedes, like the medieval theaters where you go in, you got Cajuns on this side, Colonels on the other, and you got to pick you eat the chicken with your hands and stomp your feet when they come out with the army stuff in the middle of the thing. Never been to one of these?
No, thank God.
You never been to a medieval times or a Dixie Stampede or something?
No.
Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
You lead an interesting life.
You've really never been to one of these.
I would not make it up.
My mother drugged me to the Dixie Stampede thing in Gatlinburg multiple times.
I've never even heard of Dixie Stampede.
Okay.
I've heard of the medieval thing.
Same thing, except it's the Civil War themed.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. UCLA's a toss. Arkansas's a toss. So we're 2-0 with two tosses. So we're going to call it 3-1. South Carolina at home. What do you think? A&M beat South Carolina at home?
South Carolina's not beating everybody, so yes.
All right. So 4-1. Alabama at home's a loss. At Florida, probably a loss. Mississippi State at home, better be a win or else Kevin Sumlin's not going to make it to November. What do you think?
Win.
Okay, so 5-3, lose to Auburn, beat New Mexico. I'm telling you, Ole Miss game is going to be a litmus test for Kevin Sumlin because you get him at 6. You've got him at like, what do we say, 3-1, 4-1, 4-2, 4-3, 5-3, 5-4, 6-4 when they come to Ole Miss. He might already be done with four losses.
Four?
Yeah.
Okay.
We've got him losing to either UCLA or Arkansas, losing to Alabama, Florida, and Auburn.
Okay.
If that's the case, he might not even make the trip. It might be the battle of interim coaches, the interim bowl.
Mississippi State Bulldogs.
It's a loss. They're better.
Fitzgerald is good. He's overrated when you look at stats against teams with pulses last year.
Yep. Good with his feet, though.
Yeah. But he doesn't have crazy stats against good defenses.
No.
But, again, until we see it, I don't know that he's seeing one in Oxford against Ole Miss. So, yeah, depending on Arkansas, you've got them 6-6 or 7-5.
State?
Ole Miss.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with 6-6. That's just the better pick because I'm giving them Cal. I'm giving them Kentucky. If you like I said in the thing, I can't get them to 7 wins without feeling like I'm being overly friendly.
Okay.
Any more than I can get them to 4 without feeling like I'm being overly negative. I think it's a 6-6 football team. The Oxford Exxon podcast is also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person, all without having to press 10 buttons, no 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best checking account you'll find anywhere. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. The podcast also brought to you by Michael Oswalt. Michael's a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. He works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. It's by far the largest broker of land in Mississippi. He has a site, gotland.com. That's got-land.com. You can read his recent testimonials. Check out his track record. Look online, see what type of properties he has listed. But know this, the land market's really hot right now. If you're on the fence about selling your land, your hunting club share, or your home with acreage, now's the time. Give Michael a call today. He's ready to meet with you. He's ready to explain the process. If he can't earn your business in that meeting, he says he doesn't deserve it. You can contact him at 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com.
High school practices starting today, I think, across the state. We'll probably talk to Chris Brooks here again pretty soon. We'll have Russell doing some different things again. Hopefully he's starting a podcast of his own soon. If you're interested in helping out with that, shoot either one of us an email. And drinking out your Cubs mug, Cubs shirt today. You got a baseball beside you. You really kind of decked out today.
Yeah, got my Ben Zobrist bobblehead right here.
What's the ball?
It's just a ball.
Oh, why is it sitting there?
Because I was playing with it yesterday, watching TV.
Oh, really?
I'll just spin it.
When you get nervous, do you spin a baseball?
I guess it's my version of a fidget spinner.
Really?
Not even nervous. I'll just play with it while I'm watching a game or something.
Just kind of move your hands on the seams and.
Yeah, just play with it, spin it.
Okay.
That okay?
I'm just merely curious.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of anything else. Really, trade deadline's the big thing going on today.
Yeah, it's kind of dead still. I mean, NFL's in training camp, but it's kind of early to just delve in too much.
Oh, by the way, we were wrong on that. We mentioned it on the other day, but we'll mention it again. 6:30 is the first game.
Yeah.
Start time.
Right.
11 a.m. for the second one.
Yep, and then third one's at midnight.
Midnight. How are you killing the day? Do you nap?
I'll be in San Francisco. I don't know.
Are you a napper, though, when the game's that late?
Yeah, I'll make myself take a nap because I have a very early flight Sunday. So I'm staring at an exhaustion day. It's one of those deals, and I've been to San Francisco a couple of times, so I'm not going to, like, get all the touristy stuff. I'll go get a really good lunch somewhere, and then take a nap till 4 or 5 o'clock.
Just a little stat for you here. He was such the talk of the league at different points of the season. Aaron Judge went 0 for 4 with 2 Ks on Sunday. He has struck out in 18 consecutive games, the longest active streak in MLB, and has a 158 batting average since the break.
Wow. Breaking news in baseball. The Mets trade their closer, Addison Reed, to the Boston Red Sox for 3 prospects. Red Sox bolster their bullpen. I love Reed, man. That's that dude wants the ball every day.
The Dodgers are 25-10 against left-handed starters.
Wow. That's amazing, isn't it?
Wow.
If you're the Dodgers, you feel good about that because last year left-handers killed them. And if you're staring at a Cubs series, that's Quintana, Lester. You're going to see lefties. It should be the Dodgers this year. They're the best team. They should win.
Lance Lynn, pretty good again for the Cardinals yesterday. Mike Myers had been recalled as well. So a little bit of Ole Miss news there.
Curious to see whether Lance Lynn finishes the day in St. Louis.
Well, the Cardinals keep kind of saying goodbye to him on Twitter and things in weird ways, but he hadn't actually moved yet. So
there's a market for him. He's a free agent. He would be a great rental for someone.
Yeah. So. Everybody, he's got so many quality starts in a row. Should we reclaim that stat? 6 innings and 3 runs is good, but it's not it just means you're not getting hammered. It doesn't mean you're great.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about that stat, and I've heard a lot of baseball pitchers say they're not crazy about it either.
It's a little bit of a PR stat.
It is. But, you know, if you give
up – But it means you're hanging around.
If you give up only 3 runs through 6
– Your team's in the baseball game.
Your team's in the ball game, probably. You're down a run.
That's what it means. It means you're not getting hit. You're not – it's more of an anti-negative than a positive.
I think it's that stat for the end of your rotation. If your 4 and 5 guys are giving you a lot of quality starts, you're probably a really good team.
I mean, I don't really care about Clayton Kershaw's quality start percentages.
No, just take that for granted.
Yeah. It's like the other day when he went 7 innings, no runs, and whatever start that was a couple weeks ago, a month ago, and he was apologizing, essentially saying he didn't have quite his stuff that night.
On the flip side, like when, you know, John Lackey's the Cubs' 5th starter now, when he gives them 6 innings and gives up 3 runs, I'm like, okay, not bad. Take it.
Laramie Tunsil gave up a sack this morning in camp.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Waiting on Dylan's fake news tweet, but it hasn't come yet. For some reason, I'm following Joe Shad on Twitter still, even though he covers the Dolphins. So I get a lot of Dolphins news in my Twitter feed. And he tweeted about 30 minutes ago, Andre Branch beat Laramie Tunsil for a sack of Ryan Tannehill this morning. Have a hunch Laramie will be okay.
I like his chances.
So, anyway. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow and throughout the week. Again, fall practice beginning on Wednesday. So coverage coming at rebelgrove.com. Today's the last day to use the code OleMiss2017 to get free rebelgrove.com until South Alabama. Talk to you tomorrow.